Have you ever turned down a second date because someone chewed too loudly? Rejected a kind, stable partner because they weren't quite tall enough? Most of us have mental checklists for our ideal partner, and they're quietly sabotaging our chances at real happiness. What if the very standards we think protect us from settling are actually preventing us from finding love? This isn't another fairy tale about finding the one. It's a wake-up call about why so many smart, successful people end up alone and what actually makes relationships work once the initial butterflies fade. We claim we don't believe in fairy tales, yet our dating behavior suggests otherwise. Romantic comedies became unconscious blueprints. One woman rejected a boyfriend she loved at 27 because she was looking for the romantic comedy response. Now 38 and single, she's planning solo motherhood through insemination. Wedding announcements celebrate couples whose eyes met instantly, reinforcing the narrative that true love announces itself immediately. Yet Alyssa Albert, whose fairy tale wedding appeared in the New York Times, was separated within a year. She now wishes newspapers printed divorce announcements to show what love truly looks like. Not fireworks, but the unglamorous act of running a household together, making decisions as a team, supporting each other through ordinary challenges. Modern obstacles to love aren't external barriers like class or religion. They're internal doubts about whether someone is the one. We've shifted from lovers who wanted to be together but couldn't to lovers who can be together but aren't sure they want to. Feminism promised freedom and choice, yet complicated our love lives unexpectedly. We pursued careers and delayed marriage until our late 30s arrived. Many moved between relationships or stayed single longer than expected, all wanting marriage but fearing admitting it would seem weak. The real problem wasn't our careers, but a dangerous misconception, equating having it all with happily ever after, and believing empowerment meant never compromising. Jessica's story illustrates this perfectly. At 23, she rejected boyfriend Dave's proposal despite loving him, believing she needed to grow on her own. When she finally called 3 years later, he had moved on and married someone else. The feminist messaging to establish herself first had cost her the relationship she valued most. Traditional courtship has disappeared, replaced by ambiguous hanging out and last-minute coffee invitations. Women are expected to accept this lack of effort as empowering, denying any expectations about commitment timelines. Yet men find our expectations genuinely confusing. One 30-year-old lawyer explained, "We're more interested in what kind of partner this person is going to be. Do we like being around her? Is she interesting?" Professional achievement matters far less to men than we assume. They're evaluating partnership potential, not resumes. At 41, I attended my first speed dating event, expecting 10 eligible men. Reality delivered 6 men for 10 women, most appearing well over 50, unemployed teachers, condescending strangers rambling about their failures. The demographic truth was brutal. Men in their 40s pursued women in their 30s, leaving women my age with men a decade older. I calculated the percentage of men meeting my criteria: smart, sophisticated, funny, family-oriented, successful, kind, attractive, single, kid-friendly, emotionally available, age-appropriate, and living in Los Angeles. Result? 5% of the male population. Factor in mutual interest in a 41-year-old woman? 1%. Add my preference for Jewish men? 0.1%. 1 in 10,000. Behavioral economist Dan Ariely's research reveals the less is more effect. Knowing too much about someone before meeting makes it harder to become interested. Detailed profiles decrease attraction because we perceive people as less similar to us. Ambiguous profiles increase likability by allowing us to project our preferences. Online dating creates an illusion of objectivity when connection is actually subjective. An abundance of choices prevents us from focusing on promising connections. There are two kinds of people: maximizers and satisficers. Maximizers constantly search for the absolute best option, while satisficers stop once they find something meeting their high standards. This distinction profoundly affects happiness, from sweater shopping to romantic partners. The paradox: maximizers spend excessive time searching, yet end up less happy than satisficers who accept good enough as genuinely good. Maximizers constantly look over their shoulders for something better, experiencing regret in anticipation of making a decision. Consider the woman wanting a different 8 rather than her current 8 boyfriend. She's suffering from adaptation. We get used to things and take them for granted. Like air conditioning on a hot day, it feels amazing at first, but becomes expected. Every 8 becomes a 6 over time. Research shows people are more satisfied with non-returnable items. When decisions are final, we enhance our feelings about our choices. This explains why cohabitation before marriage correlates with 12% higher divorce rates. A return policy mentality reduces satisfaction with our choices. First dates mislead us about relationship potential. Research shows happily married couples remember courtship more positively over time, while unhappy couples' memories sour, even when initial accounts were identical. Grace, who literally heard a voice saying she'd marry her now soon-to-be ex-husband, admits she really didn't know him, despite that powerful connection. Julie initially refused calls from Jeff, a nurse she met while working as a doctor. When she finally joined a group outing, they chatted like old friends and connected so well they never dated anyone else. 12 years into marriage, Julie describes Jeff as the package that arrived at my doorstep a couple of times, but it wasn't until he was unwrapped that I could see what a treasure he was. Alexandra spent 3 years pursuing emotionally unavailable John while dismissing his roommate Kevin as just a friend. After breaking up with John, their friendship deepened until casual cuddling sparked unexpected attraction. Their 2 years of platonic friendship allowed authentic connection without pretense. Alexandra realized she would have initially dismissed Kevin for not matching her type, missing the tender core beneath his gruff exterior. My dating struggles serve as a cautionary tale. When my skeptical 31-year-old friend Erica read about these experiences, she found them empowering. Realizing she didn't need someone fitting absolutely every criteria reduced her panic. This realistic approach is genuinely liberating. Understanding that finding a good mate isn't random chance, but based on our choices, makes dating more interesting, manageable, entertaining, and less disappointing. You have a choice. Continue believing your ideal partner will magically appear, or become more reasonable about dating. The happily married women I interviewed consistently reported that finding the perfect partner, not the perfect person, is what matters. This isn't lowering standards, but developing mature expectations. One woman recalled a professor suggesting she could do better than her now husband, but his loving actions, like making salt-free chicken soup when she's sick, proved more valuable than superficial qualities. Real love isn't the butterflies and fireworks we chase while dating. It's choosing someone to get real with, build a life alongside, and unwrap slowly over time. The information is here. The rest is up to you.